You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And if you're going down the path of being a great restorative dentist, one of the things that you have to learn and learn it really well is equilibration. And today I'm going to be talking to my good friend, Dr. Drew Cobb from the Dawson Academy, about the lost art of equilibration. Do not miss this. Do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are absolutely having a blast with this. We are in season two and had a great time in season one. Actually, you guys got a chance to see my good friend. We had him on several times, Dr. Drew Cobb from the Dawson Academy, and I've got him back for a bunch more great stuff. And we're continuing down that path of predictable, great restorative dentistry. You do not want to miss this, so hang tight. Now, a couple things, couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching this, if you have questions, add them to the feed and I'll ask Dr. Cobb directly and we'll get the answer straight from the master himself. Or if you're watching these later on, feel free to add questions to the feed and we'll keep giving you the answers that you're looking for because we want you to get the most out of this. So my guest today, who's been on a couple times and one of my good friends, one of the senior faculty members at the Dawson Academy, who's headed to Prague, Poland. I mean, you're all over the place here as we get ready to the fall lecture season. So, Drew, I know you. A lot of people do know you. But if somebody's watching this for the first time, which we have a lot of students now watching, a lot of dental students watching, who are you and what is the Dawson Academy?
I'm Drew Cobb. I practice in Washington, D.C., and probably one of the best decisions I made in dentistry was, gosh, 20, 25 years ago that I went to the Dawson Academy because I wanted to learn more. I wanted to be a better dentist and it changed my career, changed my life. So I guess for about the last 10 years, I've been teaching for them, which has just been a great experience. So I'm the director of the core curriculum. We're always working on how to make this better for doctors, especially implementation. I mean, I think the key to all this, there's lots of good information out there, Kirk. But the key really is getting it home in your practice and making some change. You know, that's how you change the lives of your patients, your staff, and yourself. And that's where the fun of dentistry really happens. So that's really, I think, our goal of the academy is to try to make it easier for doctors to practice this kind of dentistry.
Yeah, and the thing I like about you guys so much, there's so many things, but you guys are always in the learning posture. You know, Pete Dawson, met him at the age of 24. I said to him, and I was talking to a group of dentists last week, I said, the one thing he said to me at the age of 24, he said, Kirk, don't ever say you have it figured out. Always be learning because it keeps you young. And so, and I get to learn from you all the time, which I'm so grateful for. Now, before we get into this, because you and I are going to take this all apart in equilibration, why is this I always love talking about why this is so important. Why is equilibration so important in restorative dentistry? And why do you think it's a lost art?
Well, I think it's one of those things just not taught very much. Certainly when I was in school, you know, there's a mention to it, but never how to do it. where it fits into restorative dentistry, at what phase of restorative dentistry, and honestly, how to do it correctly. I think there's a lot of misinformation about equilibration, that you're taking lots of tooth structure away, especially in today's day and age, where we're trying to be as conservative as we can with preparation and restorations and everything else. In your mind, you would think, this is kind of counterintuitive. I'm taking tooth structure away, and that's key. But I think you got to think of it a different way. It's actually equilibration or reshaping of teeth is probably one of the most conservative ways that we can treat somebody to try to get the five factors of a stable occlusion in order. And it's not mutilating teeth. You're not taking away lots of tooth structure. I like to think of it as more of redefining the occlusion on a tooth. It's hundreds of a millimeter. Mm-hmm. You know, a millimeter in the back is 3 millimeters in the front. So it doesn't take a lot of change sometimes to be able to really affect the occlusion in a positive way.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you mentioned this, we were talking this, it's not always reductive. You can be additive at sometimes. And we're going to get into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. I mean, you think of it, you're always taking things away. But sometimes equilibration is actually adding tooth structure back where we're not reducing at all. But so this is where I think you go back to your examination, what's going on with the patient, what are the problems, what are we trying to fix? Records are so important because you got to work this out ahead of time. This is not a procedure where you see a patient, you pick up a handpiece and just start doing irreversible dentistry. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure before you do anything irreversible, just like we kind of talked about last time in the treatment planning, you want to know what you're doing and why before we do anything irreversible on a patient. And equilibration is one of those things. Very important that you work out ahead of time to make sure it's the right treatment for a patient.
Right. Right. And I'll keep going back to what you guys consistently teach me is that restorative dentistry, I love the word predictability.
Yeah.
And people get that. And you can do great restorative dentistry, but you're also going to be managing these forces. So having the forces and the loads in the right place before, you know, because these people are going to be living longer than they've ever lived. So game on, right?
Right. Exactly right. So the starting point, Kirk, is that first slide. Again, we've talked about this in some of our sessions already, but you know, it's kind of, that's the foundation of everything, and we don't skip around. It's not a different process for a different patient. The process is the same. And the exam drives everything we do. You know, what's going on with the patient? What are the problems? What can we fix and how? And then if the patient wants us to solve their problems, that's that second slide. Right. And really all that is, you know what, to figure some of this stuff out, we just need some more info. And currently what we're doing is that we're still kind of in that analog world a little bit, is get good impressions mounted in centric on our articulator, because then we can kind of look at how the function of that patient is, what are the problems, and how can we fix them? So what's kind of our roadmap? How do we figure out where the teeth should be in space before we do anything irreversible? And so that's just some additional information. Models, we use photographs. We use that program we talked about, the Dawson Diagnostic Wizard, which is really just a tool to help us go through this process of complete dentistry and not miss a step. And that Whittium rule that we've talked about, honestly, is just, would I do it on me? You know, what's the easiest way we can change what's going on with our patients? And again, just to kind of follow that process here a little bit, just to hammer this home, is that the next slide. And again, we have checklists for everything, but it's those four kind of checklists, you know, two-dimensionally, where kind of in our mind, we figure out, we know from the examination what's going on, what do we think we can do to solve it, whether it's functional, global, macro aesthetic, what are the things we can do to fix it? And we have checklists just as a way to, for you to kind of map out things in a sequential order to find the right answers. And the next slide then is that 2D treatment planning process, that's really the one that kind of drives this. That's the one where the treatment plan is really developed. And if you think about it, Kirk, there's really only four things we can do as dentists. And it makes kind of treatment planning a little bit easier when we think of it that way. So, and this is whether we're trying to get functional corrections or aesthetic corrections. And I'm going to go most conservative to most invasive. So we can reshape teeth. That's equilibration. That's what we're going to talk about here today. I think it's the most conservative thing that we can do to get those five factors of the stable occlusion in order. The next thing we can do is reposition teeth. You know, if teeth aren't worn and they're not broken down, let's put them where they should be. Now, we need orthodontists that understand function, and we have to be able to work together with our specialists. The next one, the third of the four options, is restoration. You know, now, we don't want to restore unless we have to. You know, it's not the first thing we go to. You know, restoring, even if we're trying to do inlays or onlays or add ceramics and do no prep, whatever we're trying to do, it's still going to be more invasive than reshaping teeth. And you also have to put the cost factor into this. Because, you know, the minute we add, it's a lot of times it's not one restoration, it's multiple restorations. And this kind of dentistry can get expensive. So if we can reshape teeth to get centric stops everywhere and proper anterior guidance within the envelope of function, that's a much easier way for us to do it. And the fourth, the most invasive, unfortunately, we don't need this oftentimes, but, you know, bones don't line up. The facial system doesn't line up. So we're, you know, orthognathic procedures. We're moving bones around, and then we're trying to get the teeth to relate to each other. So, but number one, the most conservative, is actually reshaping teeth. So as we kind of go through a checklist, and when you look at problems, in our mind then we answer, if this is a problem, what are the four ways that I can fix it? Well, hell, a lot of times, take the orthognathic part out, which is good. Mm-hmm. But can I reshape teeth to get things to work the way that I want to? Do the teeth have to be repositioned? Because, you know, you don't want to adjust something too much to alter the tooth too much. We agree with that. So you may be repositioned tooth. Or is the tooth already so broken down that it's lost enamel that we got to put tooth structure back and we're doing some kind of restoration? But those are normally the three answers, or any combination of those. But on many, many cases, equilibration might not be the whole answer, but oftentimes it's part of the answer. Because every time we can equilibrate or reshape a tooth to get it into contact, that's a tooth we don't have to restore.
Right. Now, one of the things, there's so many things I want to ask you about. You talked about redefining occlusion on the tooth. One of the things that's critically important, you teach us all the time, is you never do an equilibration first on a patient, right? Exactly. Explain what that means.
So, and again, equilibration, restoration, anything, throw it into the same categories. For patients that have, and these are not your normal bacteria-driven patients. This is not somebody who comes in with perio or decay or something else. These are those patients that we've identified as those specialty patients. Things are breaking down to the system because it's not working. So before we do anything irreversible on those patients, we want to know what we're doing and why. So we're always working that out on models ahead of time. And that way, then you know, what is the right treatment plan and will it work? It gives us kind of a roadmap and a test drive. So we get to work it out on the models. Can I reshape teeth to get them all into contact? And if I can't, is there something else that we need to add? Reposition a couple of teeth, restore a couple of teeth. Or in the reshaping, have I gone farther than I want and I wouldn't want to take any more tooth structure away? So now I have to do something else. But the only way you can answer those questions is to do it on models ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just pick up a handpiece and start equilibrating and get halfway into it and realize that it's not the only solution. And then sit back and have a conversation with the patient that actually, you know what, I said we were going to equilibrate, I can't, we need to do X, Y, and Z, other procedures, other costs. That's, I'm sure that's not the way you talk to your clients on how you want them to proceed with dentistry.
Yeah, now this is a great example of, we always teach the fact, the more you do up front, the less you have to do later on. And obviously, the better it works in the schedule. You can already see the problems this creates in the schedule. But there's a huge part that there's learning. You learn so much when you do this. But do you find that people just don't take the time? That's really the problem with this.
I'd hate to say that people don't take the time to do it. I don't think people are just rushing through it. Right. I'm gonna go to that lost art things a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were ever shown this process to do it. So, I think once you see it and you look how predictable it is, and it can save you a world of problems. I mean, it really can. That if you see that, then you do it. You know, and that's the next slide too, because just like you said, in going through this process, you learn. What is it we need to do to set up function? What is it we need to do to set up the aesthetics? You know, and then you can develop your treatment plan. And once you get that, now you can develop how much time, how am I going to do it? What's my sequence? What's my fees? And unless you go through that, you don't know how to do this.
Right. No. Right. Yeah. So, so take us through this, because a lot of my questions that come up when we're coaching dentists are, they'll say, well, how much time does this take? How do you describe this to the patient? I don't even know how I would charge for this because in seeing all that, as you can imagine, Drew, if I'm a young dentist watching this, I'm like, oh my gosh, my schedule is busy already. How would I fit all this in? So can you take us into your mind?
That's a scary place to be, but I'll do it. I'll try.
Why not?
So let's say you've gone through this 2D and 3D that we've talked about, and you've worked out, you've done it on the models. You know that you can do it. You've developed your treatment plan times and anything else. And you're right. You got to figure out how you're going to charge for it. And, you know, sometimes Equilibration is a standalone procedure. And by that, I mean, all that patient needs is an Equilibration. You caught them before things have worn out too much. You don't need to be doing restorations or putting tooth structure back on. So generally what we would say on a patient like that, it's going to take a couple appointments. Now, you always have to have done a trial Equilibration on the models ahead of time, okay? So you know that you can do it. Now once you've done that, you've kind of done it once, so you know where you're going to be headed. But we'd say give yourself some time. Maybe three appointments. The first appointment, about an hour and a half, and that's where you're going to do the Equilibration. Now, one thing about Equilibration is once you start, you got to finish. And what we mean by that is you can't get halfway and say, that's enough for today. Come back next week and we'll finish it, because you got to leave the patient too uncomfortable. So once you start, you finish. So give yourself an hour and a half. Don't be doing triple hygiene that day. It's an exacting procedure. I really like it. You just kind of focus, you zero in, and it's a really cool procedure. It's also one that's really cool because you get to a certain point and your patient feels the difference. And somewhere in that Equilibration, there's generally this light bulb that goes off with your patient, like, oh my gosh, that's what it feels like to get my teeth together. This is terrific. So it's a really cool experience, and they get it right away. You know, not a month later when your restorations come in from the lab and you try them in and then the anesthetic wears off, whatever. There's this sensation that they feel most times right away. So an hour and a half for the first one, give yourself plenty of time. And then what we say is 2 weeks later, they come back for a check, and I'll do about half that time. So say 45 minutes. Again, don't rush yourself on this. Be able to take your time on this. And you're going to check again. You're going to redefine it. And a couple of weeks later, it's the same thing. So generally, we say straight Equilibration, about three appointments. And, you know, you have to figure out fees. I guess, you already go over this with your clients, but you got to figure out, you know, what's an hour of your time worth? And you're going to have to break it down that way. As a general rule of thumb, if you're going to do a straight Equilibration, three appointments like that, it seems reasonable that it would be about the fee for a crown, because the time is about the same that you're going to be spending with a patient. So you got everything except the lab fee, which is actually a good procedure for the doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, now talking to the patient about this comes up a lot too. How do you describe this to the patient and build value for those appointments? And you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
What do you say to your patients?
So, you know, I'll go back that if you've done a good job with the examination and that co-diagnosis that we talk about, meaning you talk about signs and implications, here's what's going on, the patients own their problems, we're there to help them. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. So then if the patient is wanting us to solve their problems, we've gotten the additional records, we've sat down, we've done some of this model work to figure out what the treatment plan is. And then when the patient comes in, I think now it's just a conversation of, here are the problems that you have. You wanted me to try to help solve them. I'm going to try to solve them in the simplest way that I have. Here is the simplest way that I can solve some of these issues, is to actually, you've got a lot of wear on some of the teeth. I can redefine them to get the bite better on those teeth. That's as far as it goes. You know, I don't think you have to explain everything in great detail like dentists want to. You can talk about, you know, here are the seven things I'm going to do when we equilibrate your teeth. That's too much, you know. Yeah. But the simplest thing and the most cost-effective thing I can do is to try to reshape the biting surface of some of these teeth just to get the bite better.
Yeah. And these are like these, you can almost look at these are little wins with patients, you know, as you're creating a relationship, a lot of times the trust isn't built over one appointment or just one interaction. They get you have a little win there where you win together. They can say, hey, look, this is a nice guy. I feel better already. And now they're invested in the next step.
Yeah. You know, you're so right with that. Is that I'm always amazed, Kirk, by what patients allow us to do.
Right.
I mean, just think about the trust you would have to have some dentist touch your teeth, restore your front teeth. I mean, I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing that patients come into our offices sometimes, never met us before, maybe heard from us from a patient, maybe went on your website, maybe read an article you wrote, whatever it is, they get to your office. And a lot of times they know they have problems. And a lot of this too, you know, there's a psychological part to this. You're embarrassed with your smile, socially, whatever that is. But they come in, there's a huge amount of trust that they put on us. And then we go through the steps and these processes and we can talk about it so easily, like it's nothing, but it is huge to them.
Yep.
And then at the end of this thing, to have some, what can be a fairly complicated and fairly expensive plan. And then they say yes. And maybe the third or fourth time you see that patient again, they're in their office, we're numbing them up, we're shaping teeth, whatever it is. That's just an incredible amount of trust that I don't ever want to take for granted on somebody. It's also, Kirk, why I like this process. I really like to know what it is we're doing, why, and then it's going to work. That's the predictability. You can't get into this stuff, especially in these more complex patients, halfway and figure out as you go.
Yeah,
you can't have the definitive restorations done and try them in and for the first time start thinking now about the aesthetics. It doesn't work. It doesn't breed success. And it doesn't breed that confidence that we're trying to work with our patients.
Yeah. And that's when your vein starts coming out of your neck right here. Yeah. Come back and things aren't predictable, you're like, ooh, and you're trying your best to be cool, but you can't.
We all have them. I'd love to tell you that everything always goes perfectly. It doesn't. You know, this is the human condition, but we want to keep those high blood pressure days to a minimum. You know,
And you're the man to keep them low. So, what are some of the pitfalls that people run into with equilibration? Obviously, not doing it on a model first, but what are some of the others that you see?
That's it. That number one is that. The next one, which is interesting, is slide 7. Put that one up. And so I think if you start thinking about it, you always think that equilibration is taking tooth structure away. Not true at all. Equilibration can be also additive. So, and this happens a lot on a wear patient. So when we see things that are off, they maybe have a first contact, we're not going to take everything down. We're going to build things up to that contact. So, and again, the only way you know which is to do the model work and set them up and set your case up into CR and you'll see. But sometimes an equilibration is putting the tooth structure back that patient has lost. And we can try to do that in the most conservative way, whether we're going to do it with direct resins, whether we're going to do it with ceramics, inlays, onlays, whether the tooth needs a full coverage. All of those procedures, we can make a decision tooth by tooth. But visually, where it's going to be and where we build those teeth in space has to get worked out ahead of time. But we have lots of materials we can go to now.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, too? Because this comes up.
Sure.
You know, I know that you need your full attention on this. You know, you've got to be in a space where you can think. What time of the day do you do this? Because you have a pretty unique schedule. Do you have a because you're a systems guy. So you have a system for when you do this and how you do it.
I like doing anything that really requires my best attention early in the morning.
Okay.
So, I'll put equilibration. That's a great question. I'll put equilibration like I'm doing a crown, just like we talked about with the fees. Mm-hmm. So I like to do it in the morning. You know, I've gotten lucky over the years and I didn't get here without lots of trial and error, but I work from 7 to 2. I like to do what I call my primary care appointments, the ones where I'm doing multi-units or my bigger production stuff, which requires, I think, more attention to detail. Between 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., you know, or 11. That's my what I call primary care. That's where I put this kind of patient in. Then the couple hours after that, I'll do, new patients, records, or I'll do general dentistry. I mean, we all have it. General dentistry is fine. And so I can get on my roller skates and I'll work back and forth and I can go in and out of a couple rooms. And that's all fine. I like that too.
Right.
But this kind of thing, I like it in the morning when I'm fresh. Don't do an equilibration at 4 o'clock when you've been there since 8 o'clock. I think mentally you can just be too fatigued. At well, least that's for what me, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we're aging here, you know, you don't have the zone anymore where you can think all day long. You have these zones where you think really sharp. So yeah. You probably get there fresh in the morning. You got a cup of coffee if you drink coffee, and there's no static going on. What time's your huddle start typically? When you know?
Yeah. So we do our huddle at, you know, like 6:40. You know. And so 6:40, and you know, we do two huddles. So we do a huddle the day before. So at the end of a day, we do a huddle about the patients from that day. You know, did this get done? Did I get the referrals out? Does somebody need X, Y, or Z? And then, but secondarily, for the patients coming in tomorrow, because I start at 7 a.m., there's not a lot of time to save. Mm-hmm. So if there's something not done, indexes aren't done, prep reduction guides aren't done, whatever it is, that staff member that's responsible for that can stay a little longer to make sure it's ready for tomorrow. And then in the morning, we review it again. But in that morning, one should be a little bit easier.
Yeah. Now, if you're a young dentist watching this, you can already see how he thinks. He's being very intentional about his planning. You know, you can imagine how predictable the dentistry is, the conversations, all that stuff. And it's a huge lesson that you learn over time. Yeah. Again, the more prepared you are, the better it goes. I know with Drew, I always have to be on time. That guy is always on time to the minute. So good stuff. What are some other pitfalls that you would say are things that you've learned over your career that you would say about equilibration?
Well, probably a couple goals you have to have in your mind. What is it that we're trying to do? So the next slide, and a lot of these slides, Kirk, are straight out of the wizard. I mean, and this is what I like about this is it's the step-by-step that you're not missing anything because it's right in your face. Mm-hmm. So the goal is we want to get centric stops on all the teeth. And if we can, how are we going to get it? So we're going to do reductive or additive. That's how we're looking about it. The next slide is we want anterior guidance. You know, we want you on the front teeth, off the back teeth. And, you know, it's so important for years. You know, Pete has said this three different ways. I mean, the five factors of a stable occlusion are we want centric stops on all teeth, centric relations, the condyles are seated. We want anterior guidance within the envelope of function. That's that horizontal freedom that is unique to each person. Some are steeper, some have more freedom, so they don't wear the front teeth out. And we want to get the back teeth out of the way. And we say it three different ways, you know, working, balancing, and protrusive. Just get the back teeth out of the way. So the goal of equilibration is, just like when we're going through this checklist, is how can we do it? Can we reshape the teeth to get everything in contact? And when we slide around, working, balancing, protrusion, can we get you off the back teeth? Can we get you to clear? And a lot of times it's a little bit here, a little bit there. It's amazing what you learn working with models. And so if you're not doing that, I'm telling you, you're missing a huge opportunity to really figure out the right treatment plan for the patient. What you'll see frequently is a lot of times a little bit of equilibration can drop somebody right in. Mm-hmm. But then it's the eccentric contacts that you get. So frequently, you're inner inclines of maxillary buccal cusps. So a little bit of relief on those inclines clears them so that we're on the cuspid. So we can easily get that. The other one that you see frequently is that balancing. So what I mean by balancing is you're going left, but it's that upper molar on the right side. The inner incline of that lingual cusp hits all the time. Mm-hmm. So you're going left, but it's the last tooth on the right that's the interference. Here's the other one that you'll start to see all the time. That tooth had a crown done not long ago. So did we build in an interference when we did it? Did we not look at it? Did we not have good records? Were we not paying attention? Labs overbuild it a lot. Did we not do proper prep reductions so that the lab had to stack more ceramic on that so it wouldn't break? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons for it, but you'll see it all the time. And I'm telling you, you see it a lot of times, and that tooth has a restoration on it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah. A lot of times with treatment, we spend so much time on offense, but you do have to think considerably on defense. Yeah. What's going to protect this and maintain this? Because stresses in people's lives are going down. You see stress everywhere, and you see its effects. And again, these people are going to be living longer than ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, and again, that trial equilibration is key. If you put up the next slide, 10. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, it's a simple, there's a picture of a trial equilibration. So that's just taking the models, adjusting the teeth, dots in back, lines in front. You've heard Pete say that forever. In fact, here's my mug. So So I don't forget it. You know,
love it
every day right in front of me. But what it lets you do is, can we do it through reductive or additive? Can we get the anterior teeth in contact? Can we get the back teeth out of the way? And it really lets us then kind of develop the treatment plan. It's the most important step to a lot of this dentistry, is taking the time to do it. Yeah. Now, you know, if we jump ahead a little bit, Kirk, you know, we're going to be doing all this digitally. I mean, we're already doing a lot of it digitally. We could do digital wax ups and everything else. And there's no doubt that we're not going to be doing impressions. We're scanning. We can do the wax up. I mean, who wants to mess around with wax and, you know, do all that, those skills that we're trying to maybe forget from dental school? Mm-hmm. I like having something. I learn more from having it in my hand, from adjusting the model, from adding some wax. And we're not talking about you have to wax up 14 units here, but you got to throw a little bit of wax on it to envision where you're trying to go with things. Your lab can fix it from there. They could even scan it and fix it from there, you know, if you wanted to. But there's just something about having it in your hand and me physically doing the adjustment on the models that I get so much more information. And especially is, can I do it or not? Because mm-hmm. if I can, I want to know now before I pick up the handpiece when my patient's here. Even if I have to bring them back and say, you know what, I thought I could do it this way, but I don't think we can. I think the plan's going to change a little bit, and we might need these extra steps.
Yeah, buddy, yeah. You're the best. Now, if I'm a dentist watching this, and I want to learn more about equilibration and maybe the five factors of stable occlusion,
yeah.
You know, let's say I'm getting started, or let's say I've been in practice for a long time. What would be some of your advice?
So, you know, I think that's what we do at the Dawson Academy. So, I'd certainly direct you to that. There is seminar one, which is and it's online now. So you can actually go online. You can watch that 2.5-day seminar at your own leisure, sitting wherever you want to, comfortable, however you want to do it. But you can do that online. So that's a starting point. And that's the overview. I don't think there's any replacement for actually the hands-on stuff. Mm-hmm. This is not live patient, but in the equilibration hands-on course, part of the core curriculum. The first course is records. That's all about doing the examination and being able to get the records and the photos, everything else we talked about. The next hands-on is the 2D, the 3D, the stuff we talked about so quickly here. And our last session together, Kirk, we talked a little bit more about it. But that's just kind of, honestly, here's the pathway to help answer these questions. The equilibration course, what I like about it is you kind of got into the treatment plan, your patients accepted it, and now this is one of those things you're going to have to learn to do. And it's not that hard. We give you 7 different case types. So all a little bit different. We give you the info, you develop your treatment plan, and then we have the model work for you to do there. And then you get to see the end results on those patients. But again, I don't think there's anything that can help you better than actually having that in your hand and doing it yourself. And by having different case types, you're just have a different sense of what's going on with different patients.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. And if you haven't been, you got to go. And so the one course, the equilibration course, that's a standalone course.
That's a standalone course. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if you haven't gone anywhere, go to seminar one first. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because that'll get the concepts down. I think if you just went into equilibration cold, you're going to be lost. You got to get that other stuff that we talked about quickly. But, you know, I'll say this too. You know, one of the reasons I chose Dawson Academy, and listen, there's lots of great postgrad education out there. There's a lot of good stuff out there. One of the reasons I chose Dawson, kind of honestly, I tend to be in a hurry for, you hear me, you sound like I'm not in a hurry, but I like to go, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I wanted to change the way I was doing dentistry, they had kind of a concrete curriculum that I knew where I started and I knew where I was going to end. And it was, you know, at the time it wasn't 7, I think it was more like 5 or 6 courses, but I knew I could get through it. And then I could hopefully start doing kind of the dentistry that I wanted. And I liked that path that I didn't have to keep taking courses forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we do, but to get a foundation of change, I liked that it was there. It was efficient. I could start and I could get the end result pretty quickly. And it did work for me. And I think, again, that's how we're trying to work our curriculum now.
Yeah. And on top of it, you meet some amazing people and you're part of an incredible community. So
I'm spending time here with you. How good could it get?
Hey, and I actually will be at the next Dawson Seminar 1. So I'm so excited.
Looking forward to that. That'll be great.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, which I know there's over 30,000 of you now that listen on iTunes, which is just, it's mind blowing how many people still listen on podcasts. I do. It's thedawsonacademy.com and check it out and you'll be able to find your way from there. We also posted a link within the show notes. You can click it over there and you'll actually see the course that Drew is talking about. Check it out. I really encourage you to go. So we're going to have Drew back for so many more things. We're going to cover everything in the next couple of years with you, because I get so much great information and great learning from you, buddy. I'm so grateful. So stick around for just a second while we say goodbye to everybody else. All right. If you're watching, do me a favor. If you found this valuable, just hit the share button. We'd love for you to share it with all of your friends. We're up over to 17,000 followers now and just crazy grateful. And I'm already noticing people are requesting things they want to see here in the future. So keep sending us the requests. We'll get them on here as fast as we can. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great evening.
Thanks a lot.